We're thankful for all of you who are here today. We've grown a little bit in number from the beginning of the service. Some are out away. Vance and Linda Kozarich are in Ocean City, and others are away. And Oh, they're in Europe. Excuse me. Europe. So Linda and I and our family was away for 2 weeks, and you probably didn't miss us at all. And it's okay, Sam. We miss you. We had a great time in our five families in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And most of the family climbed the mountains, Smoky Mountains, and we just had a great time. It's my pleasure to introduce the apostle who is going to minister to us today. Many years ago, Alfred came to me and said, my pastor is going to be here. Is in town. Would you like to meet him? I said, sure. So we had breakfast, and I met this very quiet, reserved, unassuming man, and immediately fell in love with him, and we began to build a relationship. Now, he's quiet, unassuming, until he gets in the pulpit. From that, we, Linda and I, were invited to go to Togo. We're part of his ministries. He had 12, I think 10 or 11 pastors, and they had never been ordained or set to the ministry yet. He won't ordain someone over there until they have 200 or 300 people in their new church, and then he'll ordain them. Of course, over there you can start a church under a tree. And the fact is that we went to Togo, had a wonderful time with all the people. And at that time they had some like 23 churches, and now they're up around 40 churches. And God is doing a great thing up through that little country called Togo. Very, very important. The gospel being preached the underneath the radar. The nation's being transformed, along with many, many other people, ministries also. But the one that we're connected with is Jesus is Alive Ministries with Apostle William Tete. And so over the years, I've been back several times. And it's a French-speaking country, so when I go there, I have to kind of trust someone or remember every couple minutes to interpret to me what's going on. Somehow they're going on and on, forget to translate to me. But usually they'll give me a little bottom line interpretation of what's so I can follow it. And one time, this was really funny, we were there for their Easter weekend, a whole week of revival. And you used to have the revivals, what, from midnight to 4 in the morning? They start the revival at midnight and the 4 in the morning, because about 1,000 people come in the patio. It's cooler, it's hot during the day. People go home from work, take a good solid nap, come to revival, midnight to 4 in the morning. Well, come down to Saturday night, and you know on Sunday morning, Easter, you usually have sunrise service. Well, they just ran the service all the way through till sun. Who puts these things here? They ran all the way through the night to about 6, 7 in the morning, and maybe 8 o'clock, I don't know. And then he told them, church will be at 10 o'clock. Well, they've been there all night long. At 10 o'clock, he's up front welcoming the people. And all of a sudden, I noticed his face was kind of stern. So I said, what's going on? Well, he's rebuking them for not being on time for church. They've been there all night, and, you know, he's calling them to be on time. And you know, sometimes we need a little bit of exhortation about that here in America. But anyways, I thought that was kind of humorous. He gets a lot out of his people because he demands a lot from them. And they respond, and it's a very thriving movement. When we went the first time, I think he said, I want you and Linda to speak to the Bible Institute, which was meeting on Monday night. And he had about 18, 20 students, and he had about 15 who came back who had been graduates of the previous year. And we had a chance to address them. When I went the last time, He said, I want you to address the students. I said, well, on Monday night? He said, no, on Saturday. When I got there, there must have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students. And it was an amazing thing to address all the students he has in his Bible school. So I asked him the other day, how many students do you have right now? He said, 300 in this year's class. And that's how they're teaching, discipling, reproducing, planting churches. And so I've often said, if you want to really find out what a true biblical apostle is like in the 21st century, go to Liberia, go to Ghana, and go to Togo, and in Togo, visit William Tete's work, Jesus is Alive, and you will see what the New Testament church is. Americans, we don't understand it. We're so caught up in our walls and so forth, and the fact is that he's doing the work, and we're very privileged to have him. Let's stand and welcome him today. Amen.
God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Good to have you here.
Good morning to you all in Jesus' name. I am grateful to be alive to see you this morning. I came here about 5 years ago, and I prophesied that this church will grow. I believe I prophesied on this altar, and I said the church will grow. And as I came in, I saw that the church is growing, not with members alone, but you are building a new temple. That is the doing of the Lord.
Amen.
A church must grow spiritually and physically and financially.
Amen.
So God bless you for what He's doing, using you to do, and may you continue to do it until He comes or we go to Him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I have a dream about you yesterday night, and this is the dream. The word of God said, I should tell you this morning that you should prepare yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit and then be expecting to make heaven. To make heaven. To be filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and hope, your best hope, is to enter the gate of heaven for everlasting life.
Amen.
That is what he told me this night. And he said, I should give you this testimony. When I was in the Bible school in 1983, by then there's a confrontation in our country, political confrontation. And the government at that time was having a problem with the people and the opposition. And therefore there was a very serious problem in our country. And the government was trying to calm the problem by closing the doors or the borders that we have with Ghana and other countries. By then I'm in the Bible school in Ghana. I am raised in Ghana. I schooled in Ghana before the Lord said I should come to Togo. That is my homeland, but I don't know anything about it. So in the Bible school, I had a dream that something is happening in my house back home in Togo. So I asked a permission from the school authorities to come back home. And because the gates and the borders are closed, I have to pass through the bush before entering Togo. When I came home, I did not find my wife. My wife is not there. I inquire about the people in the house. Where is my wife? They are just looking at me. They are not telling me anything. I start to stand firm on them and say, where is my wife? Then one of them said, your wife is in the hospital. This is 5 days now. your wife is in the hospital 5 days now. Then I rushed to the hospital. My wife is on the bed at the recovery ward for 5 days in coma. She's in coma for 5 days. And they are trying to revive her. And when I went there, I said, oh, can you allow me to enter into the recovery ward to pray for him, to pray for her? They said, no, there's nothing like prayer in the recovery ward. So I came back and I started praying in the hospital. Father, do you call me to be a pastor and then kill my wife? What will unbelievers say? They will say there's no God. Father, bring my wife back. Bring my wife back. Bring my wife back. And on the sixth day in the night, my wife came back. When we went home, I said, my wife, what happened? He said, I don't know, I fell sick. Then I was gone. Then he said, my husband, do you know what God revealed to me? I saw myself in the air, but my body was on the bed. And the place is very dark, but a light shone from above and surround me. And something took me with a terrible speed through the light. Then I came and stood before a door, a very big door, and with music at the back of the door. Then a very huge man came and opened the door. He said, what do you want here? And my wife said, I want to go to where the music is being played. And the man said, your time is not yet up to come to that place. We cause you to go into coma so that we can transport your spirit to come and see heaven and hell. We transport your spirit to come to see what is called heaven, the door of heaven, and then to see what is called hell. So that if your husband comes back from the Bible school, you can be a help to him in the ministry. To tell people that there is heaven and there is hell. My brethren, there is heaven, there is hell. People are doubting about hell. If you are doubting about hell, then there is no heaven. But my wife, they show her heaven, that is the gate. But the angel took her to see hell, the fire. How the fire was bubbling and people were shouting in the fire. So I want to let you know, I want to ask you a question. Are you coming to church only because you want to be a member of a church? A denomination? An organization? Jesus came to save you so that your spirit will not go to hell, but you will go to heaven.
Amen.
So all that is happening in the world today, it is biblical. It is biblical.
Amen.
The North Koreans, the threat they are giving to America, it is biblical. To revive you to know the time in which we are. Our Lord can come anytime.
Hallelujah.
Are you prepared?
Hallelujah.
Are you prepared to go to heaven?
Hallelujah.
You want to go to heaven?
Hallelujah.
Let me see those who want to go to heaven.
Hallelujah.
I want you to go to heaven with your children.
Hallelujah.
Don't leave your children alone. When I came here five years ago, I studied something here when you give the Lord's Supper. Even the children take the Lord's Supper here. The children, they take the Lord's Supper. So when I went home, I started to do the same thing. Because in my country, they don't believe children can take the Lord's Supper. So when I went back, I changed it in my church. And people challenge me. I say, wait, let me ask you a question. When they ate the bread in Egypt, did only grown up people ate the bread?
Good word.
Now, when the blood of the lamb was used to mark the doorpost, so that the angel of death could not enter their houses, it didn't happen to only adults alone. The children even get it better than the adults. The children will go to heaven more than adults. So prepare your children to make heaven.
Amen.
I thank God for this church. I thank God for my brother, Brother Tulo, Suze, and the wife, and John, Dan, and all those who are I know here about 5 years ago. Thank you. We are from a very small country called Togo. It's very tiny. And I pray that you continue praying for us, but because the political system there is very, very appalling. Things are not going on with us at all. No, nothing is going on. So I want you to continue to put us in your mind, to pray for us, for things to change, for God to be glorified. Amen. So this morning, the word that God gave to me to share with you, let us open to our Bibles and see what we can share. We have taken a Lord's Supper. Now we are going to take the word of life.
Amen.
Are you willing to take the word of life?
Amen.
Okay, take your Bible. Let us see something quickly. We use much time in Togo than America, so I have to respect time. Help me to respect time. Mm-hmm. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. There it is written, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God will give unto thee. Honor your father and your mother. Let's look to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. There it is written again, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Amen.
Amen.
The theme of my message to you this morning is the Father's blessing. Father's blessing. God is a father. That is why God respects fathers. God is a father. Therefore, he respects fathers in the world. And therefore, God cannot condemn a father. Therefore, a child must obey the father so that God can pass through the parents to bless the children. A child cannot be in a house, and when God wants to come and bless the child in the house, he will pass by the parents and then bless the child. God will never do that. God will pass through the parent, and then the parent will bless the children. Because he is a father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed not be thy name. So if you know God, you must respect fathers. Those who are older than you, you must respect them. If you don't respect them, you don't know God. You must respect elderly people. You must respect elderly people in the house and even in the church. Then you know God.
Amen.
Then the blessing will flow from them unto you.
Amen.
Because anointing cannot come from the child to the father. Anointing comes from the father to the child. So it is the will of God that the children will obey their parents. Because of that, because there's something wrong in that thing in their homes, that is why countries are facing problems. Because church does not start from a church building. Church starts from the home.
Amen.
Church starts from the father, the mother, and the children.
Amen.
In the house before they come to church. Church don't build homes. Homes build church.
Amen.
So if homes are in good relationship with God, the parents and the children, then the church can succeed.
Amen.
So I believe this is a family church.
Amen.
This is called family church. And therefore, there must be harmony in the homes so that you can transmit God to the children. And then the children will transmit God to their children and their children and their children, generation to generation, until we leave the world. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
God is a father, and therefore respect fathers. God as a father blessed Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. God is the father of all creation. And when he created the first man and the woman, he did not bless only the man, he blessed the man and the woman. He blessed the man and the woman with the same blessing.
Amen.
No discrimination. No head, no neck matter there. If you say you are the head, then every head must be connected with the neck. Without the neck, there's no head. Now your wife is your neck, and you, the man, you are the head.
Yes.
So the neck and the head goes together.
Hallelujah.
So you cannot take away the neck and say you roll your neck, your head alone. Your head will roll and you will be destroyed. So be connected with your neck. That is your wife. That is your wife. No divorce. No divorce.
Amen.
I am with my wife 47 years now. My marriage is 47 years. I am praying for God to help me to live another 3 years to see 50 years in marriage. As I see Dan being pastor for the last five years, I saw your father training you to be a pastor. Yes, I am training my children to be pastors. One of the greatest, one of the big churches. My first son is a pastor in that church. My wife also helping in the ministry. As I am here for the past 2 years, he's doing great things over there. You must move with your wife. You pray with your wife. And then teach your children.
Amen.
In the house. In your home. Don't come and show yourself as a Christian in the temple. Show yourself as a Christian to your children in the home. You receive Jesus for you and your household to be saved. Who are your household? Your wife and your children. So show God to your children and God will bless you. And God as a father blessed Adam and Eve, the first man and the woman. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 and 28. We are not going to read it. You can write them down. God as a father blessed Abraham. Father's blessing. Father's blessing. I hear people say, for me, I can only pray to God. I don't need any father. I don't need any pastor. You don't know what you are saying. You don't know what you are saying. If you don't have a father, your mother is called a widow. If you don't have a father, you, the child, is called what? An orphan. And an orphan suffers. An orphan, you suffer. Nobody cares for you because your father is no more there. So the power is given to the father to bless the woman and to bless the children. So in the church, the leaders are fathers. The leaders are fathers. And therefore, if the people of that church don't respect the leaders, there is no communication of the Holy Spirit to the church. And if the leaders are not living right, the church will be destroyed. So the leaders must be connected with heaven. Amen. Then the anointing will come upon them and then flows out to the church. Amen. Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes.
So fathers are very important.
Amen.
Mm. God as a father blessed Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now let's come to the physical fathers. God is a spiritual father, yet you have physical fathers. I am a physical father to my children. I have 5 children. They are all grown up. The last one is in university. I pray that I will bring him to America to come and continue his studies. Because in America is a blessed land. You know that America is a blessed land?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. It is God. You started with God, but you are now leaving God. America started with God, but America is moving out from God. So things will happen. Go and tell your leaders that there's an apostle called William Titi. they should go back to God.
Yes.
Quickly. It is only America that has a currency that an inscription is on it says, "In God we trust." There's no currency in the world that you have that inscription. Why is it that no more God in America? Why things are happening very rapidly in America today? I see things on the television. I say, "Oh, what is this wrong here? What is wrong here? What is wrong in church? What is wrong in church?" There's somebody, oh my God. No. Things are not going well. Can go back to God. Turn back to God. America, turn back to God. America, turn back to God. Let your host turn back to God. It is God who has made you great like this. It is God. It is not you. It's not your intelligence. It's not your education. It is God. Anyone who starts with God and leave God, God will destroy you. Any family that will start with God and leave God, God will destroy that family. Your children will go wayward.
Thank you, Lord.
So you need the spiritual father and the physical father.
Amen.
So as a family church, the physical father. Abraham blessed his son, Isaac. Where did he get the blessing from? God.
Amen.
Then he transferred it to the son. Not only going to school, but you need blessings from the house. Schools cannot bless. They can teach you, but they cannot bless. The parents bless.
Amen.
The parents bless.
Amen.
The parents will want the child to be better than him. A child, a father wants the son to be better than he, the father.
Amen.
Are you getting me?
Yes.
Yeah, that is what God is doing. So the father must bless the children. God bless me as a father, then I bless my children. Then my children also bless their children. That family will run like a blessed tree. A blessed tree. Like the tree of David.
Amen.
So it is very important, the father's blessing. Abraham blessed Isaac because he received blessing from God and transferred it. Isaac blessed Jacob. Isaac blessed Jacob. And Jacob became better than Isaac. If you can study the Bible very well, Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac became better than Abraham. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob became blessed than Isaac. And then Jacob blessed his children, and today they are the Israelites. You see the blessing? So to conclude, this is a family church, and you want to build it as an international church, fine. then the leaders of this church must have a special anointing. The leaders of this church, the pastors, assistant pastors, the deacons, all must have special anointing, so that that anointing will flow upon the families that will come to this church, and then the church will grow. Anointing does not come from the from under the feet to the head. Anointing comes from the head down to the feet. So the leaders must have the anointing, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not only book knowledge, not only knowing the Bible. The Bible is a written word of God, but that is not God. The Bible is the word of God, but that is not God. God is it himself. He's still the supreme God. So if you have relationship with him, then you see God in your life. You can know the Bible, but you may not be blessed. Because you can know the Bible and you may not know you may not know God. You can be well educated, you can go to the theological school, but you may not know God. You can be a pastor, but you may not know God. So I pray that the leaders of this church will be immersed in the Holy Spirit, so that the anointing will flow, so that sicknesses and diseases and so forth will cease. I am 72 years old, but I'm still strong. Yeah, I can run. I can preach from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'll not be tired. Why? Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And now this is the temple of God. So the body must be in good health. This is not the temple. This is a place of worship. This is the temple. Now if God is in me, why should sickness be my problem? If God cannot heal me, then God should separate from me. God is a healer. He healed me from my sickness. I am an asthmatic patient for 18 years. But God healed me. I'm an asthmatic patient for 18 years. I passed through many hospitals and went to many places, but no remedy. But God, the healer, healed me. So I understand what is called healing. God healed my family, healed my marriage. If not, so my marriage could have been broken down a long time ago. But God healed the marriage. God healed my children. Things that are happening today, the children are going wayward. God is doing marvelously in the life of my children. If God wants to punish me, the way I live, my children will do more badly than me. But God is controlling them. Not because I am a pastor, because of the love and the anointing. 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 Anointing flow. Excuse me. Come. Come. You see, yeah, you are very tall. Is that your children? Yeah, they're grown tall. Yeah. Like father, like son. Now you see, if Pastor Dan, this is his children, the anointing of Pastor Dan flows to the wife. Then, that is the parents, the man and the woman. That anointing will never flow to anybody, but it will start from your children. So it will come upon this child and then go move on to this child, even to your grandchildren. Amen. Then if the time comes to die, they will still remember that there was a man who lived before, and the family is blessed. Family generation will be blessed. May God bless you and your family. Amen. I say, may God bless you and your family. Amen. The Father's blessing. Not to waste much time, I want to pray with somebody. Hold your wife, and stand up, and I pray with you to receive a fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. Stand up with your wife. If you don't have your husband here, you stand up. Everybody stand up. Blessed is his name, blessed is his name, blessed be thy name, O Lord. Blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, Jehovah, blessed be thy name, O Lord. Hallelujah, blessed be thy name, O blessed be, O Jehovah, blessed be thy name, O Lord. Blessed be thy name, blessed be thy, hallelujah, blessed be thy name, O Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, you are God everlasting. You are a father to the fatherless. You are a father to those who believe in you. And you are with them to the end of ages. You shall not leave us alone. You are with us in our problems. You are with us in every persecution. You are with us in any problem. Because you love us. The father loves the child, and he can never separate from the child. Father, I pray for your blessing upon this family. Bless it upon you, my brother, and your wife, and your children. I stand before you as an apostle, not only in Togo, apostle of the nation. I stand before you this morning. I pray that the heavens will open upon you and your children. The heavens will open for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to continue to be blessed.
Yes.
Blessing I bring to you.
Yes.
No curse, no sickness, no defeat. In the name of Jesus Christ. I command blessing upon your life. I command blessing upon your wife. I command blessing upon your children. I command blessing upon your grandchildren. I command blessing upon your business. Your business, your finances, your health. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mercy nilamatsukaha. Malasukaha. This is your blessing in the kingdom. The blessing in the kingdom is not poverty. The blessing in the kingdom is not sickness. The blessing in the kingdom is not shame. It's not defeat. It's victory. Victory. Blessed are those who are born in God. They shall overcome the world. I prophesy into your spirit, into your soul, into your body, into your future, to overcome the world.
Amen.
May your children overcome the world.
Amen.
May your children succeed.
Amen.
May they succeed.
Amen.
And I pray that you and your family, you will make heaven.
Amen.
You will see Jesus.
Amen.
You will pass through the gate of heaven.
Amen.
And enter into heaven where he has prepared for you.
Amen.
You will go there. And you and your children, you see each other in heaven. This is what the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you. I prophesy the blessing of the kingdom upon your life in this church.
Yes.
I prophesy that many families will come to join you. Many families will come to join this church. Because you have built another place of worship, that place will be filled with new families. If you believe it, I pronounce it and it is done already. I believe my prayers and I know it is done. May the Lord who called you into the kingdom be your father to the day you go to heaven. I bless you. Stay blessed. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding be upon you from now until forevermore. And I pronounce shalom, shalom, shalom upon your life in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.